Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. What a sweet privilege to have the opportunity to share with you the glorious truths of salvation by the sovereign grace of God. As you tune in this morning, we trust that you're going to pray for us and pray for the ministry of God's Word. Pray for yourself that God would open your heart and mind, enlarge your heart to the things of the Spirit of God. There's a great opportunity this morning for you to be strengthened, to receive help that you need for the way. Especially as we look back at a text that we've been sharing with you, from the contents of that portion of Scripture's great encouragement in the passage of Scripture that we have in front of you this morning. But also, by way of encouragement, I want to say that this coming Friday night, we'll begin a series of services at McClenny Primitive Baptist Church, Friday night at 7 o'clock, and you can find directions to our church, more about the meeting, at mcclennypbc.com, M-A-C-C-L-E-N-N-Y, PBC, McClennyPBC.com. That represents McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. This means a great time to be introduced to the Primitive Baptist family. It's a wonderful, loving fellowship of God's people who understand that we still remain sinners in practice. But we know that by the grace of God, that we're going to triumph completely at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what our Savior has done. Understanding that we're still sinners and that we need God's grace, it creates a sweet kind of fellowship that this world simply doesn't know anything about. We recognize that we're brothers and sisters through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We feel that kindred bond of family that comes through our relationship, our mutual relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we trust that you will come Friday night at 7 o'clock, Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. We may have services after lunch. We will definitely have lunch. We'll have fellowship. And then that evening, Saturday evening at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a time of fellowship. We'll have food and fellowship. We'll have a meal, break bread, and then we'll have a time of Christian fellowship. And Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., God willing, Brother Tim McCool and Elder Chris McCool, they're brothers according to nature. But most of all, they're brothers in Christ. They're able ministers of the gospel. They've been to this meeting now for many times. And God's richly blessed them. It's always a very special time. So we trust that you will make preparation and come. I promise you that the drive into the country is worth the difference that you'll find at McClenny Primitive Baptist Church this coming Friday night, Saturday morning, all day Saturday, Sunday morning. And we're at the corner of North Boulevard and 4th Street in McClenny. The corner of North Boulevard and 4th Street in McClenny. Please come and be with us and pray for us that God would bless our coming together. Now, let's go to the page of God's Word. Revelation 21:5. John said, "And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." We looked at this passage of Scripture as we came into the new year. The promise of God to make all things new. I can't think of anybody that I know that does not need something new in their life. Some area of their life, they need to be made new. A new beginning, a new start, a new opportunity, a new outlook, a new attitude. Everyone needs something new. And I'm not talking about new cars, new homes, and all of that. But things that really make a difference. We need a new course. We need to grab the tiller of our life and steer our ship by God's grace in a new direction. Well, praise God. According to the Word of God, the promise of God's Word is, He that sat on the throne in heaven that rules this universe, John said, his statement to his church in this world until he comes again is, Behold, I make all things new. New desires for us. Some of us have new fears. And then some of us have new hopes, which are bright and sure. We know, many of us, that we've been made new creatures in Christ. And we want to express that newness of life that Christ has given to us. And we talked about quite a bit of that previously. And we know that we are not what we're going to be one glorious day. God is going to ultimately make us all brand new, finally and completely. And we're not what we're going to be one day, but thank God we're not what we used to be. Because God, since we've been born again, has been giving us new opportunities. My consciousness of being a new man in Christ is often as sharp and crisp as my consciousness of being in existence in this world. I'm very sensitive to it. I know that I'm not only solely what I was at my first birth when I came into this world. I feel within myself that there is another life, a second, and a higher, nobler life that I receive by the power of the Holy Spirit, a newness that I experience by the sanctifying power of the Spirit of God each day. And this new principle that I received when I was born again is from day to day gathering strength and winning victories. It has a hand upon the throat of my old sinful nature. And I trust that maybe I win more battles than I used to win when I was a very young disciple. And eventually, thank God, this old sinful nature is going to be trampled like dust beneath my feet when I rise in the morning of the resurrection. So, thank God. I know you can say this morning, if you've been born again, that Jesus Christ, who sits on His throne, makes all things new. Blessed be His name. It needed the Lord. Our souls needed the Lord Himself to make us such as we are new. None but a Savior on a throne ruling could bring newness to my old life. So let us give Him the glory of it. God has made everything new to me after I've been born again. The world is not the same to me as it once was. It's greatly altered. It's turned upside down. The value of it. The world is out of joint with me, if you would. It's not what it was to me when I first tasted that the Lord was gracious. Paul said, the world is crucified unto me, and I'm crucified unto the world. There's no love lost for me for this world. And let me say this. You may remember fondly somewhere as the Israelites did back whenever they were in their wilderness journey, come up out of Egypt, headed toward Canaan's land. They were in the Sinai Peninsula in the desert. They think fondly somehow back on what they described as the flesh pots of Egypt. And they, oh, that we had the onions and the leeks and the garlics of Egypt. And that somehow the world, they loved the world of Egypt and the world of Egypt loved them. Let me say this. Don't ever be deceived. We should not love the world because I promise you, the world does not love you. Paul said it, I'm crucified unto the world. What a transformation grace makes in all things within our little world. We should not love this world because this world certainly does not love us. Christ has made all things new. In our heart, in our hearts, even though we haven't reached that final new heaven and new earth, yet it's in our heart. It's been made new. He's placed that new heaven and new earth in our heart. Heaven is there. What a change in our joys. Oh, we shrink away from thinking about what heaven's going to be like. We blush to think what our joys have been. But let me say, there are heavenly joys right now. I get ashamed of my old ways. But let me say, Christ has given me new ways. Those old ways, I put them behind me. I crucify myself to them. Now, I'm not going to love again the very things that I once despised. Because of Christ, our hearts can fly with wings after things that used to we gave no thought to. What a different Bible we have now once we're born again. It's a blessed book to us once we despised it and the reading of it. But I'm telling you, my heart flies to the Word of God today. And I bathe its pages with my tears oftentimes. I wouldn't have sought God in days past and gone. I wouldn't have sought Him in prayer. But now the mercy seat, what a different place that is for me now. The Bible's a different book. It's a new book to me now that I'm born again. The mercy seat of God in prayer is a new place to me now that I've been born again. Oh, when we were little, we had those formal little prayers of childhood and we just vainly repeated them. But I'm telling you now, prayer is not mockery to me. It's new to me and it's fresh to me and it's dear to my soul. Because He that sat on the throne promised, "Behold, I make all things new." Now in prayer, I have access to Him in the new and living way. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I was a little boy, I used to promise myself and my friends of childhood that if I just lived to be an adult, they'd never be bothered with me in the house of God. How new today is the house of God to me. How different is this place. How I love to be found in its walls and how I feel delighted to join in the praises of God. In the church of God where I swore as a boy that I'd never find that place again. It's all new to me because Christ has made all things new in my life. What a God I worship. I'm telling you, I used to look at those old men and women going to church and I just thought they were a bunch of old fogies. Now they're the sweetest and dearest, most priceless treasures in my life. Christ has made all things new just as He promised me. No, I'm like Ruth told Naomi, where you lodge, I want to lodge. Where you live, I want to live. Your people are going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God. Where you're buried, I want to be buried. I want to dwell with the people of God in this world. Whereas used to, they seemed to weary me. Now, thank God, they're priceless treasures because God has made all things new. What a hallelujah, what a Savior we have. I'm telling you, the thought of preachers, when I was a little boy, thank God now it's not that way anymore, but when I was a little boy, if four preachers showed up for church, that's how many preachers we had preaching for us that day. And I was a little boy, I'd come into church and I'd start counting preacher heads. And I'd know how terrible my fate was going to be that day. Because the number of preachers, that's how many sermons I was going to have to listen to. But thank God it's not that way anymore. First of all, it's not that way because we don't preach for preachers anymore. Don't be afraid to come back to the old Baptist church. We don't do that. We're reasonable now. Paul said all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And the worst death in the world, and I'm a preacher, and I'd say it, the worst death in the world is be preached to death. Too much of anything is bad. But now it's with reason. But when I was a little boy, even the preaching of one man was too long. Well, let me tell you today, friends, I can't get enough of gospel preaching anymore. I love to hear the sweet refrains that come from the lips of God-called men. And whether they're learned or whether they're unlearned, it doesn't matter to me. Those that come to the pulpit to brag on the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I can't get enough of it. When I swore I wouldn't hear any of it as a little boy, now I find myself driving hundreds of miles to hear the sweet refrain of the gospel. And the reason is, He's made all things new. Hallelujah, friends. Hallelujah. Glory be to our Redeemer's name. Why shouldn't we lift up our voices in praise to Him? We will. And the reason is, He's made all things new. David said, He's put a new song in my mouth, and we must sing it. The mountains and the hills break forth before us into singing. We can't be dumb. All of creation is praising Him. And if He's made you a new creature in Christ, if the heavens are declaring the glory of God and the firmament are showing forth His handiwork, how much more should we shout the sweet refrains of glory to our Savior's name? He's made all things new. Praise is ever new delight to me. Let us, this new year, God help us to baptize ourselves in a sea of praise and delight to His great name. In praise, we should rival the angels and the archangels, because we should be out praising, outstripping them in anthems of hallelujahs. Because let me say, the angels and archangels, they haven't been saved by His grace. They haven't tasted the sweetness of redeeming grace like you and I have. The Word of God tells us that there were angels that kept not their first estate, and they were cast down in everlasting chains of darkness reserved unto the horrible, great, and terrible day of judgment. There was no grace dispatched for them. The poet said, never did angels taste above redeeming grace and dying love. God didn't send a Savior for the angels, but He sent a Savior for you and I so that we could be made new, friends. How we ought to praise Him and honor Him in this year coming up. Quit counting your bruises. Start counting your blessings. You'll find you have plenty of reason to bless His adorable name. So we've tasted these new and precious things in our life. And unto God we're going to lift up our loudest song forever and ever in the anthem halls of eternity. But don't wait to heaven to talk about a God who makes all things new. That process which we have described taking place in ourselves is going on in other forms. The whole creation is travailing and all the time is groaning. The curse of sin has gone across this universe, but providence is working and grace is striving against the curse of sin. All for one end. The bringing forth of a new and a better age. It is coming, I'm telling you, friends. It is coming. A new and better age is coming. This dark world in which we live, as we live our lives out over the ever-shifting sands of time, the unchangeable age of eternity is coming, my friends. John didn't write in vain, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven. He said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. As he sees that blessed age coming, that new age, he said, and when that comes, the tabernacle of God is with men, and God will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat on the throne said, listen, friends, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. What a glorious prospect does all of that open up to the believer. Our future is glorious. Our future is glorious. So don't let our present be gloom. I meet so many of our brothers, so many of our ministers, that they're so full of gloom and doom. Listen, I know that there are bad things in this world, and times have been bad, and they've been worse than they are now. But even in the darkest of hours, the saints of God took great heart, and they had unspeakable joy because their hopes were not planted in this world or the nations that they found themselves dwelling in. Their ultimate hope was planted in the promise of Him who said, I'm going to make all things new one day. Night doesn't last always. David said, surely joy cometh in the morning. Weeping is but for the moment. Night lasts just for a moment. But joy cometh in the morning. And so we should heed that blessed promise and make application. We should make great application that I make all things new. Having these truths, we should desire to lead a new life, be different men and women. Renewal, new things, that is renewing comes to us, not just when Christ comes back, but we can be renewed, my friends, through the power of the Holy Ghost if we've been born again today. Let hope spring anew in us. Let joy begin to abound again. Christ is able. If you have plugged into all of the negativity and all of the despondency that's flowing around the family of God today, let me say, dear friend, Christ is able to make your life entirely new. You can be transformed, Paul tells the church. He's speaking to believers. He tells them, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed as new parents. Be transformed as new children. Be transformed as new friends, as new believers in Christ. Friends have said with great wonder, what a change in old John. What a change in Ellen. What an alteration in her. I've seen men and women, boys and girls. I've seen them become new husbands. Women become new wives. Now they are the same individuals, yet they're not the same. Grace works in a very deep, striking, and lasting change. Ask those who have lived with those whose lives have been transformed by the miraculous power of God's grace. Be a transformed by the renewing of your mind. Christ makes new employers and new employees. He makes new friends, new brothers, new sisters. You can be all of those things if you've been born again. You can break old habits, old patterns, old ways of doing, scheming, manipulating, cunning. I see it among disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to remain like that. God can make all things new. He can transform you as a born-again believer. The Lord can so change us, even after we're born again, renewing us so that we'd scarcely know ourselves. We can grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him. We can be different than we have been, even after we've been born again. I have to believe that people can change and they can grow. I know ministers who believe that once a person is this, that they're going to be that forever, and they give up hope on people. God help them. Because our Savior sat on the throne and said, I make all things new, any of His born-again children can change their ways and become transformed by the renewing of their mind. Now, let me say this. You can't do it on your own. You can't say, well, I'm going to mend myself. I've taken a pledge. I've made this vow for the new year. I'm going to be better. You can't do it on your own. It's not a matter of, you'll break your resolutions. And nothing is bettered by your feeble attempts to reform yourself. You have to do it in the power of Him who sat on the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. We get from Him when we get from Him what we need, but when we get away from Him, we lose the fountain of every blessing. The straight way to perpetual newness as a child of God, a fresh and holy youth is to go to Christ again and again and again and say, oh Lord, I've failed. I don't have the strength. I don't have the wisdom. I can't do this. And you hear the sweet voice, the sweet words of your Savior saying, child, behold, I make all things new. The poet said, then immortal joys come streaming down, joys like his griefs, immense unknown. But these joys only come from him. You can have a freshness, a newness, a zeal. I've got a dear friend down in Central Florida. He's in his mid-80s, and I'm telling you, I saw him back at a meeting in November in Central Florida. He was just as excited about pushing the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ forward as he was whenever I first met him 50 years ago. He was the joy of a little child. He hadn't become bitter and toxic and cynical. God deliver us from those spirits and those individuals in the kingdom of God. Those kind of people simply aren't going to Christ. They're not being renewed. They're not having their hearts and minds transformed. And their churches are dying. They're sitting around holding a funeral because they simply don't believe that Christ can make all things new. I believe he can, don't you? I believe that Christ can make it all new. There may be some of you, dear children of God, who are listening to me today, and you're living on a very low platform of spiritual life, and you know that Christ can raise you to a new condition. Listen. Don't wait. Reach out. Go to church today. Maybe you haven't been. We'd love to have you at McClinney Primitive Baptist Church. You'll find folks whose lives are being transformed by the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's hope for you. He gives beauty for ashes. He makes all things new. Go to McClennyPBC.com, McClennyPBC.com, and you'll find directions and times of our meeting. Come this morning. You'll find the renewing power of the Spirit of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClinney Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclenneypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.